Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Spray continues.
I think I'm becoming lactose intolerant. Is that possible?
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Spray.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
Dirt and Spray.
Eggs, breakfast, and go whoop ass.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Spray, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app.
Hee hee, Magic Johnson.
Fan Sports Network, YouTube, like the video, subscribe to the channel. What's up, everybody? Happy Football Friday to you. Got a lot to get to. Spring and Line coming up at 9:30. That's when we're going to do our gambling. Get your fake sponsors in. 503-864-6326.
Got a local FUP date.
Oh, you got a local angle for your FUP date, huh?
Massive news on the Oregon coast.
Oh, what happened? Are we blowing up another whale? Can we do that?
You know my stance on that.
That'd be pretty cool. We should do it.
It feeds the other animals.
Should be our thing. Every year we blow one up in the middle of July, like a 4th of July parade starts with a blown up whale. I'd be all about it, man. That'd be badass.
Just rope a beauty pageant queen and yes. Just whale guts hits her face.
You imagine how many people go to the coast for that? You kidding me? It'd be business. It'd be booming over there.
Well, quite literally.
I am loving this trend. Now, I don't know how widespread this is going to get, but it seems like it is now continuing. So yesterday I gave you the quote of Brent Keehan, our FUP date, who said he's the head coach of Georgia Tech, and everybody's saying, hey, this guy could be bouncing. Is Auburn interested? Is Penn State interested? Who's going to go get Brent Keehan out of Georgia Tech? And he was asked about his future plans, and he said, cut me open and see what colors I bleed. He's a Georgia Tech alum. And then in the aftermath of that, there was reporting that came out that they're already working on an extension to keep him around at Georgia Tech.
That is the rumor out there, yes.
He does not seem to be a guy that is going anywhere. Mm. Adding to that, it was also reported yesterday from Chris Karpman, who covers Arizona State.
Yes.
And he had sources at sundevilsauce.com. that Kenny Dillingham is walking around the building telling people that he is not going anywhere. He will be the head coach at Arizona State next year. Now, that's not an official announcement on an extension. That's not, you know, nothing specific.
He just got an extension. I don't know.
You get one every year in college football.
Well, I know it.
Every
rate.
Time your name gets brought up, you get a new 10 years tacked onto your deal. Now your buyout's $180 million.
Well, that's the funny thing is it does happen every year. I think Lanning's had two or three of these already. And then when you don't do it, the fan base goes, why are you extending? Right. And then when they leave or you fire somebody, why is the buyout right. $180 million?
Why is this costing us so much money? It's because, you wanted to give him an extension 4 years ago because you thought he was going to take another job. So it's just continuing this trend, and I don't want to spend too much time on the coaching carousel stuff. We talked about Oregon State earlier. That's a local angle. Who the hell knows where these schools go? I also wonder if this is leading into, because the other bit of coaching news we got yesterday was out of a team in the Big Ten that was just in Eugene a couple of weeks ago, and they made it official. The athletic director at Wisconsin, Chris McIntosh, came out and said, Luke Fickell will be our head coach next year, and we are going to increase our financial investment into the program.
It's everybody else's fault. It's not Luke Fickell's. We'll fix this.
Not his problem. We're going to spend more on NIL, and our financial investment will be increased. He will be back in 2026. But I also wonder, Wisconsin fan, by the way, livid with this decision, right? I saw some of the Wisconsin folks who were chirping. They're not happy that he's going to be back, and I can't blame them, because Wisconsin might go 2-10 this year.
Yeah.
And how do you come out and say we're staying committed to this guy that went 2-10? They're playing the Huskies at home tomorrow. We'll see how that game goes. But I'm wondering if some of these decisions leads to a conversation or goes back to a conversation we had of now that a lot of these guys are saying, I'm staying put. Mm-hmm. So it appears Marcus Freeman's not leaving Notre Dame. I think we all know Lanning's not going anywhere. He's sticking around. It appears Kenny Dillingham doesn't want to go anywhere. Rhett Lashley, we didn't talk about that. That happened, I want to say, on Friday after we were off the air. Mm-hmm. He signed an extension in SMU. He's not going anywhere. Like, you go down the list of guys who are now saying, no, I'm sticking around. I'm signing an extension at this school.
Yeah.
Matt Rule, another one in Nebraska. Like, if you're Wisconsin and you fire Fickell, I get that you want to do it. How far down the pecking order of jobs are you? How many other jobs get filled before you do? What leftovers are you eating? That I'm wondering if it's now going to impact schools like that, saying we're not firing our coach because everybody's staying put, and I don't really know what the candidate pool looks like.
I mean, I don't know where it's at. It's not one of the higher up end jobs, right? But I'm so torn because half these coaches' moves, I'm like, man, you seem like that was a panic decision. And you can give me the record, give me the amount of years. James Franklin was a panic decision.
Yes, he was,
because
when they gave him an extension.
Anybody with a brain attached to that university, including the athletic director, would have honestly been offended and berated you in the media if you asked the question out loud. If you didn't beat Oregon, is there a scenario where he's not the coach anymore? They would have called you out and you would have been made fun of online endlessly. And look where we are. So if that's what happens, then you can say a rational panic move. Maybe it pays off for him. Other coaches get fired and I go, yeah. Luke Fickell, Wisconsin, I have no what evidence do I have?
None at all.
So you're going to bring in what? Some big Haas offensive line guru that's going to take you back to Ron Dayne and Barry Alvarez and everything's going to be okay?
People are pointing out that he can't even recruit the state of Wisconsin right now. There are more that was always their calling card, big Wisconsin offensive linemen. There are more offensive linemen in the state of Wisconsin that are committed to Minnesota than there are Wisconsin right now. That's criminal. That's one of the first things you do as a Wisconsin head coach. You lock up the big boys in your state, and then you go from there. And he can't even do that right now.
Yeah, there was a report out from John Middlecoff that basically, like, scouts say that he is a massive liar.
Yes. Yeah.
He's somebody you can't trust.
He didn't let scouts into a practice a couple of weeks ago, and he tried to poo-poo the story, but scouts are like, why would you not let us come watch you practice?
I don't know, man. Like, I think some of these instances, it's warranted. Other instances, you're like, do you think you could really do better?
Yeah.
Like, any Tennessee fan throwing out Josh Heupel is just like, you guys are nuts,
no,
dude. They might have been, like, their max season for most was around 8-4. They just lost their third game. We got a couple games to go. Maybe they finish as a 9-3 team. That's better than what you thought.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know where Wisconsin ranks to answer your overall question, but
Kenny
Dillingham
sticking around is cool. I like that side of this story.
I like it.
If it ends up being true.
I can't help but put myself in the shoes. I think it's why I've been a little opposite of most of the Beaver rhetoric on Jonathan. If Brent Key found out tomorrow that Georgia Tech was going to be in the same conference as Tulane, I think
changes
you're fooling
the
yourself to think, yeah, he does bleed Georgia Tech colors.
Because they're still in the ACC.
He's also
he might win the conference
Key
this year. get an automatic spot in the playoffs.
So I just, like, it's so much easier to assume all these guys are also loyal if the circumstances are the same. Whereas I look at him and I say, that's awesome that Kenny Dillingham doesn't want to leave ASU. By all report, he got an extension. He's paid. His whole family has moved near him in Arizona in the same neighborhood. Like, he shares a wall with his sister
house. Yeah, it's really cool.
So, like, that's awesome. I think we all want, like, the people that are important in our lives to be in our lives. When you can do that, that's cool. I also look at the other side and I go, the LSU job would be yours if you put your name in that hat.
Without a doubt, it would be.
It would be yours.
Yeah.
You're in your 30s. You work your arse off.
Good recruiter. Smart.
You're aggressive. You can recruit.
Yep.
They have the resources. It's a no-brainer move, in my opinion, and I think that's a tough sport to gauge what's no-brainer, but good for him, good for the schools, and it makes you just kind of wonder where some of the other schools are going to be able to pivot.
Do we think this is a one-off, or is this a new trend? Because the old trend in college football was any time a bigger job was open, it felt like everybody jumped. Unless your name was Kyle Whittingham, Kirk Ferentz, right? Like, how many guys have stayed loyal to programs that were not top-of-the-sport kind
Bama
of programs?
I think Ohio State are the two.
Are still the two that if they open up, you jump no matter what?
No disrespect meant to Florida, LSU, Georgia, Michigan. Those are great gigs with the right coach. I think those are probably the two for me that get almost every candidate. There's a long phone call, interview process, and maybe they decide to stay where they're at, but those are jobs. It's like, it's probably those two.
Interesting.
Do you think it's more than that?
I don't know how to feel right now because this is such a unique circumstance. This never, and we'll see. Like, maybe all of this stuff changed. Like, Kenny Dillingham is not, he could still leave this offseason, right? Saying one thing behind closed doors to try and keep your season together, maybe we look up in a month and he's gone, he's head coach at LSU. So,
also could be an assistant going to a reporter and saying
hey,
man,
hey,
this is what's been, this is what's happening. And you're like, okay, I'm going to run with that. And they're like, yeah, go ahead, do it.
But if we do get a full cycle where all of these guys seemingly, you know, there's a, you know, Silverfield at Memphis, like maybe he's the guy that bolts, but I don't quite, that's a lower level to an upper level, a group of six to a power team. I view that differently. This is more looking at the power coaches. And right now, it appears almost every single one is more interested in staying put at their school and not rolling the dice on something new than they are going elsewhere. And that has never been the case in college football. These coaches are always looking for the next pay job or the next pay increase, the next upgrade in job. That constantly happens. And so this is kind of an outlier anomaly. And I hope it becomes the trend because I think it's better for the sport. It also doesn't have to be bad for the teams that are whiffing on these guys, right? Like Auburn and Penn State were the two reportedly that were most interested in Brent Key. They were going hard after Brent Key at Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. He is saying, cut me open, I bleed yellow jacket colors, and I'm going to finalize a contract extension. I'm not going anywhere. It doesn't mean that that's the end-all, be-all for Penn State Auburn. Maybe they go, instead of Brent Key, hire an up-and-coming offensive coordinator who turns into the next big thing, right? I look, if you look right now in the college football playoff rankings, so in your top 10, you have Ohio State, number one, Ryan Day is first-time head coach.
Yeah.
I know, but he...
Prodigal son, OC
I get
for
it,
Urban.
But like, he had never been a head coach before the Ohio State job, and that's a unique one. I get it, because Urban stepped aside. Cignetti is not an Elko or not, and neither is DeBoer. So 2 through 4 or not, they're retread coaches. Kirby Smart was a first-time head coach at Georgia when he took over. Lane Kiffin, not. Kalani Sitake was. The Texas Tech coach was. Dan Lanning was. Marcus Freeman was. Yeah. So my point is, when you look in the top 10, it's not like it's just chock full of guys who have won elsewhere and then went and won at their current school. A lot of these guys were a coordinator or somebody who was an up-and-comer that wasn't the head guy that got their opportunity and has capitalized.
Well, and a lot of fan bases, including your own, were like, Dan Lanning? Okay.
All right. Let's see how this goes.
Got to look into that. And even the ones you mentioned, like, I wouldn't even classify Elko and DeBoer's retreads. Those, to me, just like guys who advanced in their careers because they haven't been.
I'm just saying you hired another head coach to be your next head coach.
When I think a retread, though, I think of guys have been fired.
That's fair. That's a Lane Kiffin, a Sark.
That's Hugh Freeze at Auburn. But outside of that, it's mostly just up and coming coordinator, can't miss, but also. For all of those institutions, man, they have their S together internally. It's not just that those guys are great coaches. They are. But Dan Lanning's been the first to say this. My general manager is great at what he does. I've got great coaching staff. I have unbelievable support to the point where I have to tell you every other week, I'm not leaving. So I think this is kind of going hand in hand where it's these Freemans, the Days, the Lannings. They are good at what they do. They also have amazing support all around them at their institutions.
It takes alignment.
And right now you're seeing what? You're seeing kind of institutions that you point to and say, what are you, Florida? You don't have a president. Your AD is weird. What are you, LSU? Your governor has odd comments. The guy's interim, but the committee's making the deal. No, the interim guy is now the official guy. He's making the deal. Penn State. So if I go 10-2 for 5 years, I'm going to get fired because James Franklin's not good enough?
Right.
Like, you have to evaluate that stuff. And I think most of these coaches and their agents are, and they're also good at getting more money at their current places, which is used to be the separator here. But now because of the media deals and because these programs have a lot of what they need with their ducks in a row, you don't feel that urgency anymore.
You feel like you can kind of win anywhere right now in the sport. It doesn't have to be at one, insert top 7 job here in order to win.
And that's, or you're at a place that allows grace and says, hey, Kenny Dillingham could be
8-4 this year. What would it take
for
him to get fired at Arizona State?
A while of really bad football.
Some 3-9 seasons in a row,
but
probably.
7-5, 9-3, a 10-2, 11-1, an 8-4, a 7-5. He could be Kirk Ferentz.
Yes, just be there for 20 years. They'll build a statue for you.
And you make over $100+ million, and you're a god. Like, that's a good quality of life.
Yeah, so I'm hoping this trend continues. We'll see all of it. Extensions are signed. We'll see if anybody ends up bolting still. But it seems like the trend is continuing that a lot of these guys, Brent Key, Kenny Dillingham, adding to the list, Kurt Cignetti, I didn't even mention there, signed the extension right out of the gate at Indiana, are sticking with their current school. And I would love to see it for college football. We'll spring the line coming up at the bottom of the hour. Am I a sicko for liking this? We'll get to that coming up next. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, springing the line right around the corner 10 minutes from now. Fake sponsors welcome. It's filling up, writing them down as they come in.
Do some
gambling. What do you got?
If I hopped on social media, like after today's show, Mm-hmm. And I followed your dad on Instagram, and he posted a get my son a better host, and you could see what kind of host he can be. Should I interpret that as you feeling that way, or should I just say, well, that's just Mr. Johnson's opinion?
It's one of the weirder stories right now in the NFL.
This happens in sports in general. Like, Ja Morant has to deal with this on a daily, and you know, I don't think he cares because his dad is his dad. But Rome Odunze's dad basically saying, get his son to a place that gives him targets.
Yeah. Let him play with a good quarterback, essentially.
And look, I'm a big Rome guy. I love Rome Odunze. He is one of the best Washington players of all time. He dropped a touchdown last week, and he leads the team in targets despite not recording a catch against the terrible trash-ass Bengals. I can't help but think the dad isn't popping off like that if there's not some emotion shared between father and son.
I agree with you completely. And if you read that, I would think
and I think Rome did the right thing to say that's
my
dad.
He handled it as well as he could. There's no right answer there for what he's going to say. I just, how do you not have the ability as the athlete to be like, just stop? Why do you need to share your thoughts on social media?
Oh,
I don't
social media police over here.
I would absolutely be. If my dad was doing that and it wasn't coming from me, like if Rome Odunze is saying is true, like if my dad was on social media posting about how bad of a radio host you are, I would, like, what? What do you know, dude? Put your phone down.
Be weird show beef, dude.
It would be.
Because I don't think I'd believe you coming in Monday.
Exactly, you wouldn't. And that's the whole problem. That's why I would say stop. This is, what are you doing? You don't need to post on social media. Who cares? If you want to share your thoughts to me, that's fine. Like, if we're having, I'm over having a drink with you.
Sure.
And you want to say, hey, what's up with your co-host? That guy's an idiot. Like, all right, well, I did, you know, whatever. He's, you know, I'm going to push back against you, but you're saying it privately to me. That's different. I just, a lot of this does fall on Rome in my mind of like, shut it down, dude. This is causing a distraction for me as a professional athlete. I'm now having to answer questions to the media about what you're saying because you have opinions about what is going on. And according to him, it's not coming from him. It's just his dad who is very supportive of his son and thinks his son's not getting enough targets or enough good looks from Caleb Williams. I just, as a parent, what are you doing, man? Your kid's in the NFL. Like, how are you not bigger than this?
Yeah, that's one of the things I think in youth sports that I've learned or seen is just like the parent that is hands off and supports the coach and just signs the kid up, like, that's what you kudos. That's what you should do. The parent that reaches out to the coach to talk about playing time, to, you know, whatever. That's where you're like, it's a nightmare scenario.
Why are you doing this to your kid? It doesn't make any sense.
That's terrible. What's happening out? We have something happening out here, and I'm very curious. We have like 9 people rushing over here to look out a window.
Somebody getting arrested over there? Go check it out.
Yeah, Swag's be on it. We got a window situation
Casey's
here.
Casey's over here.
Is it a hot, or Jake, is it like something
Patrick.
Going on? Jake's giggling.
Everybody's giggling. Is there a homeless guy taking a dump on the sidewalk right now?
That would actually be... Well, be terrible, but also funny.
Somebody turned the studio, the radio down out there. They can't hear Swag what we're
saying
right
Swag looks disappointed.
Nothing
he looks like
out
it's
there?
A nothing burger. We had 15 people run to the window.
What's the recap?
All right, so apparently there's a truck that parks there every day and has a myriad of weird and strange bumper stickers.
Well, one of them has a flag.
That's what it is? That's
now
what
it's
we just
not,
ran over
yeah,
to look
that's
at?
What it is. I'm like, that's
it?
It?
Yeah.
That's literally what it was about? We had 10 people run to the window for that?
That's pretty disappointing.
Bumper stickers?
Yeah. I've been a naked hot chick running down the sidewalk or something. Then I get it.
So you're that or
the naked bike ride?
Naked bike ride going by?
Yeah.
Construction, you know? Maybe, you know, the jackhammer caught a water main, something like that.
Well, you know, I have people in my
bumper stickers.
I have people in my family that will text other people in my family.
Sure.
And I'll find out and I'll just go, you didn't need to do that.
Something critical of somebody in the family, something critical of a job, or
just addressing
just
family strife. Yeah. And I'm not involved in any of it, and I want nothing to do with it. I largely stay to myself and my family because my family's crazy. But I see it, and I'm just like, you don't need to do that. But also, it's kind of pointless to tell people that. So Rome might find it pointless.
Yeah.
His dad might just be like, no.
Well, at some point,
I try and put myself in his shoes of just like, why am I the one that now has to answer for
exactly.
this? This is a headache for me. Can you put the phone down? You don't need to be like.
Well, and if it creates some sort of stigma that he can't drop, is it going to cost him money when he's comes up for a free agent contract.
Like a lot of parents love being on social media and supporting their kids. And like, hey, that was like, there's a lot of duck parents that do that. Like, that's totally
so
different than
you,
coming
whatever.
Out and criticizing.
Great.
Like, if there's an Oregon parent that's like, Dan Lanning's a dumbass, why do you go for it on fourth down there? Like, that's not going to create some drama and some issues that you're now going to have to answer about. Like, I don't understand why you would want to put your kid in that position.
DJ's dad would do this once in a while about
he
DJ.
He absolutely would do this
doesn't
about DJ.
Doesn't do it
DJ.
As much about Mateo,
yeah.
But he really does do it about DJ of like, well, this support-wise.
Well, and he's super, like, yeah. I mean, Duck fans have been going at Mateo a little bit this year because his numbers don't jump off the page, and sacks aren't the only, I think sometimes we just don't know how to quantify defensive line production. They also haven't played a lot of teams that are legit at throwing the football, right? There's not a lot of chances for sacks against some of the teams that they're playing. But his dad is known to, like, he'll search his kid's name on social media and block people.
Yep.
They say something critical. That's, like, you want to do that, that's fine. You want to, like, not see that stuff or be sensitive about things that fans are saying about your kid. That's different than criticizing the company and the organization that they work for.
Yeah, the tough thing with this is they have the Giants at home this weekend, and that's kind of a tight line. They could win that game. And you can poo-poo them all you want, and I don't blame people for doing it and not buying them as a legit contender. 6-3 for the Bears would be massive year
That's
one Ben
huge
Johnson.
For them, dude.
So if they can put together a good game, they can win, they'd be 6-3, and they might still do that. But they are going to go into the game with, hey, so your dad posted this. Did he? Is that how you feel?
Also, what if he comes out to your point from last week? What if he has a drop touchdown and they lose the game? Are we still criticizing the quarterback and the organization?
Well, yeah, I know that's unfortunately where it goes, man, and it's a slippery slope. But I saw that story; I thought it was interesting because, like, I think most people, if a friend or a colleague that they're close with or work with, if they saw their parent post something in relation that's an obvious towards you,
yeah,
I think the takeaway logically would be like, oh, that's how that person feels.
It was exactly where your mind would go, for sure. If I had a buddy that you knew who was just sending you like troll tweets all the time about all your takes, you would absolutely think it was coming from me.
And then you coming in and going, dude, I promise you. Well, now you're overcompensating,
yes.
Guy. And, now
and
I
would feel like I'd have
you.
To overcompensate because I'd feel bad that they're doing it and I'd want them to stop, but it's not coming from me. But now you think it's coming from me.
Yeah, because if you don't fight
it. Spin it. Like, what the hell? That was bad. All of it's bad.
It's a
no-win
situation.
It's a lose. I didn't get to it there, but just quickly before we go to Sprague in the line, am I a sicko when I start to get excited when everybody starts picking against my team? I was become a very trendy pick this week.
It's a sexy pick.
It is a like both covering the number and pulling off the upset.
A lot of people like
you. Am I a sicko for liking that?
No.
I mean, it doesn't mean it doesn't have any bearing on the game tomorrow. They could lose and I have no clue how it's going
to
go.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way. In the regular season, you as a favorite in the last couple of years, you've been in a good spot. You in big games as a favorite. It's not always ended the best for you emotionally.
No, it is not. Yeah.
If you wake up tomorrow and you do the pregame show, where?
At Grand Central Bowl, man.
Oh, what time?
Okay, at 8 a.m.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Stop by, say what up.
And then you go home to watch the game after the pregame, and they win. You get to chuckle and light the cigar and say, doubt us again.
It feels really good.
Line's not moving, though. It's holding at 6.5.
It came down initially. The big money came in on Iowa north of a touchdown, and now it's stopped at 6.5. There won't be any more. There's no value betting it probably anymore at this point from the sharp, so it won't change anything.
Yeah.
It oddly makes me feel more comfortable about my team than if we were going into the game and everybody was like, dude, Iowa can't throw. Oregon's going to kill them.
Like, you
whoa,
still
whoa,
haven't
whoa, whoa, whoa,
gotten
whoa, whoa,
to the
whoa,
mentality
whoa.
That you're the big dog.
Well, we haven't won a title yet. Once we win a title, we can be the big dog. We got to win a championship for that.
Be a non-Oregon fan and talk to him off the air, and you see if he has big dog energy.
Ho, 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 ho.
Need more dogs.
What do you feel worse about? Everybody liking your team and picking them to win or blow
out? Yeah, this is my question.
Or you having confidence in your team going into a big game.
And everybody's picking against you.
Because I, as a Niner, thought we were going to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The last time they played.
You thought that was a dub.
And I sat on my couch as they went to overtime. I go, I was wrong, and they're going to lose this game.
Catch a punt and you win. Brutal. Niners and catching punts in big games. NFC title game, was that Kyle Williams years ago against the Giants?
How about guard Travis Kelce within 5 yards?
That would help too. You know, yeah, he's
just
pretty
let
good.
Let him go for 13 every catch.
That would help a little bit as well.
How about a holding call against the Chiefs?
Yeah.
One time?
How about we call one?
One time.
The damn cheats. Let's break the line. You guys ready? We'll do it next.
Spring in the line.
Spring in the line.
Spring in the line.
Spring in the line.
Drip, drip, drip. See what we got here, boys. Spring and Lime brought to you by the Piss Dipper and the Pickle Sniffer. Both names sound more trustworthy than Brandon Spragoo. Agreed. Sprague Line brought to you by Shaden Sharpe's 3-point percentage, still higher than Sprague's winning percentage.
You wouldn't want to put a piss dipper on a t-shirt, but I did think a funny t-shirt to sell in the merch locker would be making you with a fat dip. Obviously, in also a
at
urinal.
A urinal, yeah.
Just that's it on the t-shirt.
The urinal plus of my head.
No, just you.
Just me and the urinal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We actually did. Speaking of pickles, did you guys ever do the like? My wife bought a pickle ornament.
Oh yeah, we hide the pickle.
Hide the pickle.
That's
is that a thing? That's a normal thing.
Everybody. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was not aware of the find the pickle, and she came home with a big pickle, and I was like,
"Well,
what are we doing here? What are you trying to say to me, huh? I don't got two Coke cans."
Not Matt Khalil. Play this game this year. I don't know if you're planning to anyway. Teddy's really young.
Yeah.
Start trying to introduce him into find the pickle ornament, and then you give him some little bit of reward.
Yes.
We play that game with my daughters and have for quite some time. It's a fun game.
Fun game.
It gets
I'm
harder.
A big fan of the pickles.
Yeah. I mean, once
I love pickles.
Once they get older, you really got to hide it.
Yeah, you got to be creative.
I've gotten really good at hiding.
Now, do you only do it on the tree, or do you do it all over the house?
No, it's just an ornament.
It's, okay.
It's a tree.
Better than elf on a shelf? Don't do it. Okay.
Dude, one of my biggest advices as a parent,
never.
Okay. Don't do it even for 1 year.
Don't
it will
do
not
it.
Be just 1 year. Don't let your wife win that argument.
Okay. Stand strong. Sprague and Line brought to you by stubbing your toe in the kitchen in the dark. Still less painful than a Sprague pick. Sprague and Line brought to you by 105.1 The Fan, making our morning drives delightful with our sunrise guys. Just kidding. Sprague's betting advice makes me want to drive into oncoming traffic. Wow. Sprague and Line brought to you by the two best words in sports, the Timbers.
Damn straight.
Well
Timbers
done.
Playoffs.
Sprague and Line brought to you by Little Johnson. As we all know, it's not about the size of the bet. It's about how you place it. Amen, brother.
Yeah, you and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
Let's get one more in here. Sprague and Line brought to you by World Series Game 7. So I got no interest in following it, just like I have no interest in following Sprague's betting advice. Here's how we did last week. 0-3 for me.
Ooh, bad weekend for the show.
Swag went 1-2. You hit on the Rams, big wood. You missed on the Chargers and the Lions, big wood. Mm. And Chargers looked like they had a chance to cover there for a while.
Chargers I'm mad at. The Lions I missed. Lions played
Lions
bad.
Just, yeah,
Chargers, I'm...
We all took the Lions and whiffed. Sprague, you also missed on the Chargers. You hit on the Seahawks -3 against the Commies. So 1-2 for each of you. Season standing. Sprague are now below 500 at 13-14. And you and I, Swagger, are now dead square at 11-16. So, Whoa. You know, things are going great. Sprague, the T-Box is yours.
He had a weekend where he didn't submit picks. Does that make you feel good?
No. No, it doesn't.
We're so terrible
I'll go
this.
Find my pickle.
I'm going to start with a home favorite. They have not.
Look how little confidence there is in the boys. How little enthusiasm.
I don't know.
I'm going to start
Where
with
am I going to throw my money away this
home
week?
Home favorite.
What the hell?
How does this bet lose? Go ahead. Please tell us. What home favorite do you like?
My problem is the last couple weeks, I actually like seven things, and I'm not choosing the right seven.
I know.
I'm going to go Seahawks at home. What okay. the hell? -6.5, a sub a touchdown. Look, Arizona's a little dangerous with Brissett. I get it. I think a big thing for them is we'll see what Shaheed is going to be introduced into this situation. I love their defensive line against a less mobile quarterback in Jacoby Brissett. I know Arizona's played them tough over the years. You can point to a handful of games, including this year in the desert, where they came back and it took a field goal. I think a big thing for the Seahawks team is we need to put together multiple convincing wins at home. It's a big deal. You might host a playoff game. You need home field advantage. I think they're going to get it this week. Arizona Cardinal fans do not exist.
Nope.
Seattle is absolutely all in on this football team. They're off to a great start. I think they're going to get a home crowd. I think it's going to be back to the 12th man. I like the Seahawks running away with this one. I'll take Seahawks -6.5.
Okay, Swag, first pick.
The Lions can't play that bad 2 weeks in a row if Dan Campbell is in charge. The Commanders already don't have Daniels. They don't have three of their top four receivers. We saw what the Seahawks carved them up on Sunday night, and the Lions have a better rushing attack than the Seahawks do. I will lay the 7.5 for Detroit on the road at the Commanders.
I'll go ahead and get out of the way of my first pick. It's the same thing. The only thing I'll add, because everything is spot on, the Lions since 2022, so I think that was the year Campbell took over, if I'm not mistaken, they are a perfect 12-0 straight up and against the spread following a loss. They are 12-0. They always bounce back. Dan Campbell's, I don't believe, ever lost back-to-back games. At least he hasn't in the last couple of years. They've been very good in this spot. The Commies are dead. I love the Lions also -7.5.
I am going to go to... I hate betting Monday Night Football because then I got to wait till Monday.
Wait until Monday sucks. Especially if you lose, like Cowboys, yeah, Cardinals
after
over.
You've been waiting all day for Sunday night.
That's a good point.
All right.
God, I'm almost pivoting out of this because I don't want to wait. I like getting
Sunday
it done over the weekend.
Kicking into high gear. The stars are all out. All right, go ahead. Make it
finish it.
No, we're running late. We got to go. Hurry up.
Packers minus 2.5. Bounce back spot. I like it. It's at Lambeau. Close game. Sub field goal. I'll take the Packers minus 2.5.
Going against the Eagles. All right, swag pick 2.
It doesn't matter that it's the Carolina Panthers. I will continue to fade the Saints.
Oh, no.
They
no.
stink.
Dude.
They're you have the same horrible.
Pick, yeah. I thought you didn't believe in them, though. You told me they're not good.
Less
I
don't. Than a
they're
touchdown?
Not good. The Saints are the worst team in the history of football.
Aren't they going to be? What
Panthers,
the Panthers
minus 5.5.
What would the Panthers be?
6-3 if they won the game?
Dude, 6-3 is like, at some point, you have to just say.
No, I don't.
You
no,
don't trust
and,
them?
No, I 6-4? I thought they
six
were
5. 6-4? Are they 5-4?
I mean, look.
They suck. I mean, the Panthers suck. It's okay. You could be above 500 and suck. That can happen. Last time they played a real team, they lost 30-0. You
They're
know who's not a real team?
5-4.
5-4. You know who's not a real team? The Saints. I
the
hate
Saints
this.
Aren't a real team.
So
this is fading the Saints. They're horrible.
We don't communicate any of this. I already wrote down my picks. I'm just going to give that pick. That was my third pick, so I'll give that one now. If you pick my last game.
That's going to be the funniest result at the same record.
Is it a favorite? Is your third game a favorite?
Yeah, a big favorite.
Okay, good. That's not me then.
Big favorite.
A big wood, huh? You like a big wood? All right, my second pick, same reason. Saints are terrible. They're Panthers are decent at home unless they play a real team and the Bills shut them out and kill them. That's not the Saints. The Saints are terrible. Tyler Shuck sucks. I like the Panthers minus 5.5.
Who's your other big favorite?
Got to wait and find out. Your last pick's up, buddy.
Yeah, I'll take the over 49.5 Rams Niners.
Rams? Ooh, okay. Rams.
I think we got a little scoring here.
Over 49.5. Got it, swag. Last pick.
The Bills are on the road at Miami, laying 9.5. The Dolphins have pretty much mailed it in. Good they traded team. Their best pass rusher. I don't know. I think Buffalo's going to go down there in one enjoying to get to some decent warm weather. Might be raining. Who knows?
You love the Big Wood this year.
I do love the Big Wood this year. Bills need to keep up. They have a chance because the Patriots are going to be in a dogfight just up the road in Tampa. Mm. So the Bills can pick up a game and not let the Patriots get too far out in front of them, still in a fight for the top of the division.
Drip, drip, drip. Like that Big Wood. I'm going to go with a medium-sized wood for my last pick. An average wood, as many people would say.
Are we going literally all? Not a single dog was picked in this segment.
No, I'm not doing any dogs.
That is a recipe for disaster.
I mean, I'm 11-16, so fade anything I'm doing right now. I'm terrible at this. Last pick for me, and I'm just going to continue the bit from the show. The quarterback sucks. The quarterback sucks, and the other team's figured it out, and he's back. I don't care that it's on the road. I don't care about Brian Flores. Why don't you go Hayes 2 a little bit more, okay? Lamar Jackson's going to rip you apart. The Ravens have an extended break here because they played on Thursday night.
Over a field goal.
And now they're back. It's over a field goal. I don't care. J.J. McCarthy's going to go throw three picks and throw for 116 yards, and the Ravens will win the game by more than a touchdown. Give me Ravens minus 4.5 on the road in Baltimore.
I don't know what's going to happen this weekend in sports. I'm going to really need you after the show to pull that specific part and save it for a potential Monday open. I need that like I need oxygen.
J.J. McCarthy taking a steaming dump down his leg, pretending to be an alter ego that doesn't exist to throw for 117 yards and a touchdown. Remember when he beat Penn State and they literally didn't attempt to pass the entire second half?
Can we make an agreement here as a show?
Yeah.
If the winner of this dumb segment is below 500, but they're the winner by record.
We all lose.
There is no loser.
We're all losers. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to do the thing the NFL should do and not give home field advantage.
Exactly.
Is that what you're telling me?
We're going to go to the draft. We're going to have to get Ken Barkley back.
No playoffs. We're going to the draft. We'll find somebody else. All right, here we go. I'm on Ravens minus 4.5, Lions minus 7.5, and Panthers minus 5.5. Fade all
Ravens
of it.
Ravens is 3.5, by the way, on DraftKings.
Is that what it is on DraftKings right now? Yes. When I looked earlier in the show and I wrote it down, it's 4.5.
It is 3.5.
Dude, hell yeah, brother. Give me the extra point. I'll take it. Sprager likes Seahawks minus 6.5. The Packers 2.5 on Monday night, minus 2.5 against the Eagles and the Rams 49ers. Over 49.5 Sunday afternoon. Swag likes the Lions also minus 7.5. The Panthers also minus 5.5. And the Bills minus 9.5 against the Dolphins. Sprague in the line. Hold on, let me scroll. Give me a second. Brought to you by... No, I already read that one. Sprague in the line brought to you by Sprague. The Denver Broncos are betting. He starts off great. Then it's time to punt or S the bed. Spring and Line brought to you by Iowa Football. Just like watching a team gain 100 total yards of offense and punting 14 times, following a Sprague pick will also make you want to bang your head against a wall. Sprague Live brought to you by Pepto-Bismol, giving you the Game 7 extra inning back-to-back World Series champion relief. You only get once every 25 years, making it feel like an ordinary Monday. And Sprague Live brought to you by Three Mountains Home Services, because when Sprague picks go cold, you can count on him to blow some hot air. Yeah, look at that, right. Tying in an actual
damn
sponsor.
Right,
well
can.
Done.
Great,
love
great
it. Good
job.
Stuff, good
great
sponsors.
Job.
Let's wrap it up next on The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go, fist pumping your way into the weekend every single Friday. Weirdly looking at Pat McAfee's back hair right now. He's doing a close-up shot in a tank top. Interesting look. Game day is at Texas Tech this weekend. BYU-Texas Tech should be fun for those of you who still have ESPN and can watch the game. Have you seen this solitaire thing and all their personalities jumping into it and how everybody's killing them? It's been a rough week or two for ESPN. So Stephen A. Smith did the, I played solitaire during the NBA Finals and didn't do my job, and now he's parlaying it into an AI solitaire app.
And an endorsement deal out of it.
He did, and the company is, by the way, go read the backstory of the company. They are super shady. Just horrible stuff.
Yeah.
He has roped in almost every single ESPN personality, and the best part about social media is they have to do, like, hashtag ad before they send out the tweet.
Yep.
So Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, Laura Rutledge, they're all like, hashtag ad, you can't beat me, Stephen A. Smith, and like sending back and forth tweets. Oh. It is the most cringeworthy campaign that I have ever seen, and they have had a brutal 2 weeks. So middle finger to them, hold the line. I will not watch that game this weekend, but I'll check out the highlights.
I thought you already purchased.
Nah, man, canceling. We canceled this week.
Did you really?
We rolled it back, yeah. Because the next Monday night game was on ABC. I only ended up watching one of the ESPN games last week. It was Miami-SMU. I thought I was going to use it the rest of the day. The app is terrible.
Yeah.
It doesn't work half the time. Mm. It's glitchy. It kind of, you know, peters in and out of being a consistent stream. The quality sucked. Like, everything about it sucked.
Well, and also for those that are dealing with the same situation, I know some people are finding links and whatnot.
Yeah.
Sling offers day passes for $5, and they have all the games.
I would much rather do that.
It's $5,
yeah.
But like, I'm going to spend $5 on something else stupid, so...
Without a doubt, yeah. Agree with you there. Blazers in action tomorrow in Miami. How long is the roadie? Are they in a long roadie?
Five game
East Coast. East Coast roadie.
I almost sprayed
Midwest,
the line.
They come back to like Dallas and Houston or
something.
Yeah,
they finished with Dallas. I almost sprayed the line on the over of the prime game tonight, which I'm actually really excited about.
Oh, we got a Friday
Houston
prime game?
And San Antonio.
That's a fun little game right there.
So if you haven't watched any of the prime stuff, it's fine. I almost bet the over in that for spraying the line.
We got USC Northwestern tonight, too. Take care. I don't know. I always watch for the comedic factor, just in case.
How many more home games for Lincoln before he leaves?
One or two. He's almost done. He's out of there. That'll do it for us, folks. Thanks so much for being a part of our Friday. If you missed the show, go check the podcast. Come say what up tomorrow, Grand Central Bowl, 8 a.m. They're opening early. Come get a breakfast burrito and a Bloody Mary. We'll get you set for Oregon and Iowa and the slobber knocker that will exist in Kinnick Stadium.
Good luck to you, man.
Thank you. Good luck to everybody this weekend. Hopefully your teams win. We'll recap all of it on Monday, and that'll do it for us. The Firm of Harris Meringue is next. You're listening to 105.1 FM The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.